Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. Get back to your phone calls in just a second here. We haven't talked about the Hall of Fame yet, BT. And we did it yesterday, had some fun with it. We had Tom Verducci on. We filled out our ballot, which was not that dissimilar. I had Felix Hernandez getting in and no Sabathia. You had Sabathia and no King Felix. Sabathia did, in fact, get in. So CeCe, Ichiro, and Billy Wagner get in. Here's my issues with the voting process and the voters. Like, I love this stuff. I love talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's such bullcrap. And the voters are pathetic. Not all of them. And I'm friends with a lot of them and work with a lot of them. Like, But how do we get to a point where Billy Wagner, for 9 years, wasn't a Hall of Famer? Last year on the ballot, he's a Hall of Famer. That makes no sense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. How is Carlos Beltran not a Hall of Famer? And forget about the cheating scandal. Like, that's bullcrap. It's year 3. Beltran is a Hall of Famer. One of the great players, no doubt about it. Switch hitter, all that stuff. Postseason, he should be a Hall of Famer. And then the coup de grace, the nail in the coffin. How is it possible that one bleeping voter yet again didn't vote for Ichiro? Like, who in this world ever watched baseball and wouldn't think that Jeter or Ichiro would be a Hall of Famer?
Or Seaver. Did we ever find out who the person was, by the way? Has he revealed himself? Has he stepped forward?
I don't think yet we've had that.
Come clean, buddy.
Did we have it with Jeter?
Pay your penance. I think he did come clean with Derek.
Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah. You see my point here?
I do. Honestly, I gave up not caring about the Hall of Fame because I love baseball. You know that. I love the Hall of Fame. I love the numbers. I actually have something for each where I think you'll find interesting after. But it is so all over the map without consistency. And there is something to be said for that incremental tick up. That's why, what was Beltran, 70%?
I think so, right? So 70-point change.
You know he's going to get it next year.
Okay.
And you know, when it's a little lighter, what about Andrew Jones? I know Chipper Jones was tweeting away for him last night, basically saying if Andrew was a Yankee and he had 1,300 RBIs and 10 or 11, 12, 13 gold gloves, he'd be in.
He's probably right.
He might be. There's a lot of, although Mattingly's not in, so it's not just a Yankee bias, and A-Rod's not in, but that's a steroid thing. But he's probably right, and I think that Andrew Jones should probably be in as well. I think that...
You wouldn't have voted for him, and neither would I, for the record.
For who?
Andrew Jones.
We did not. But I'm saying if he gets in at some point, it's not going to bother me.
It's the whole of, hey, he was really good at certain points.
Well, that's why I can't feign energy. I can't feign, like, anger. You know, pertaining to sports, obviously. But I can't manufacture that stuff if the people who are in charge of it don't care as much. Why should I care as much?
I know. It just bothers the crap out of me, dude. And even to the point where, Sabathia seems like a great dude. Congratulations to him getting the Hall of Fame. But CeCe Sabathia can say he is a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
That does not add up to the other guys who had to wait certain time frame to get in for whatever reason. Even Beltran, just use him with Carlos. Like, Carlos Beltran should be a Hall of Famer. Also, I don't think there should be such thing as a first ballot Hall of Famer. I believe when you're eligible, you should be on the ballot. You either get voted in or you don't. That's it. He's a Hall of Famer.
You mean you get 1 year?
Yeah, like he should be a Hall of Famer. What changed? Billy Wagner didn't take the mound in the last 10 years. So what changed?
Well, a couple things did change, just to push back and to have a conversation from the other side, though I'm largely with you. I think the reason why you wouldn't want to do that, where it's like, all right, you're on the ballot, you're either in this year or you're not, Yeah, bottom line, I know who I could X out immediately without giving a whole lot of thought. Now, maybe a couple of guys like Felix or CeCe, I just want to dive into the numbers a little bit, which I did yesterday before I gave you my ballot. But you do that because what if there is a scandal that's uncovered after the fact, the reliance and the development of different analytics? Like, I do like having a grace period just for almost retroactive retroactive evaluation. I don't think it's a bad tool, but if you wanted to do it, you just said and have, all right, here's the ballot, X or no, you're in or you're not, and then maybe have every couple of years like a veterans committee to maybe write something that is a gross injustice, like almost like a do-over button, like a reset, like just kind of flip it if it's agreed upon by X amount of people, however they want to determine it. I'd be okay with that as well. It's just, it changed about 20, Harold Baines, Don Sutton, Burt Blylevin. Come on. I watched Burt. I remember watching those really good Yankee offensive teams with Mattingly, that team. Younger Mattingly. Pitching, and Burt Blylevin pitched in the 70s, way before our time. But I'm like, they're gonna smack this guy. All right, he's got a good curveball. Fantastic. Like, I never once watched Burt Blylevin and, like, viewed him like I watched the young Dwight Gooden or Fernando Young or Nolan Ryan or Steve Carlton, even though I saw Steve kind of more at the end, like or Greg Maddux or Randy Johnson or Pedro. Not even close, dude. Not Roger Clemens. Not even close.
Yeah, Scott Rolen in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, exactly.
Never once did I watch Scott Rolen. Now think about that. Scott Rolen is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Carlos Beltran is not. There are more egregious ones, obviously, than just that, but like, Scott Rolen was a good player. I'm not trying to take it. Scott Rolen is in the Hall of Fame, as is Chipper Jones. So what's the delineation between Chipper Jones, who was a all-time great performer,
switch hitter, too.
But like, okay, well, they're both in all. How do you differentiate? Like, to me, it should only be the cream of the crop, the elite.
Me too.
I know it's not like that, but it's a reminder every single year of how stupid the whole thing is. And it's frustrating to me because they continue to get it wrong and make it about things that are other than the player's performance at an extremely high dominant level on the field.
Listen, you and I share a lot of the same concepts about the Hall of Fame. We're basically the same age. We saw the same players. So we're pretty like-minded here. I want to throw something real fast at you with Ichiro, real quick, okay? So when you talk about the history of baseball, it's very easy to say, you know, we'll never see another 300-game winner or, you know, certain stats that are almost unachievable based on how little players play compared to back in the day. All right? And that's statistically provable, right? Let me give you the converse to that. I think somebody like Ichiro, because nobody talks about the accumulation of hits, I don't think we'll ever see another Ichiro. I was just doing some very basic, very basic math. So we all know at this point, it came up at the age of 27.
Yeah.
And you look at the first 7, 8, 9, more than 7 years of his career, 260 hits. Like George Sisler broke his record, 240, 238. Like just like Wade Boggs, Tony Gwynn, Rod Carew, stupid numbers, right? If Ichiro, think about this. If he would have come up at the age of, I'm going to be conservative, not 18, 19, 20, at the age of 22, and instead of averaging 220 hits like he did for the first 7, 8, 9 years, we'll give him 200 hits. You know, that's another 1,200 hits. He's over. He's basically at 4,300. And when you factor, because the only, there's very few guys now that get a lot of hits here. Luis Arraez, and nobody wants him.
Yeah.
Basically, he doesn't run. He doesn't have a rocket. He's not a good defender. Like, Ichiro, to me, is really one of the most unique, and I don't know that we'll see something like this again. A dude cranking out 220 hits a year with a Roberto Clemente arm in right field, which he had, and basically a Ricky Henderson light stealing bases in his prime. I don't know if that guy's ever created again.
See, I love that. The fact that Ichiro was better than anybody else at what he did, which
he was
an absolute hit machine. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years led the league in hits. I mean, that is...
And he started at the age of 27. So that's prime years he left on the table.
I get it. I know that. Well, I mean, that's why... How could you not... Like, how could the whole thing is so infuriating and so flawed. Just simplify, how could anybody who's watched baseball, who has a vote for baseball, not vote Ichiro for the Hall of Fame? The answer is that that person, whoever it is, that remains unnamed at the moment, is going to say, well, I didn't think he should be unanimous.
Yeah, yeah. Who the hell are you render that verdict?
It's the same thing for Derek Jeter. And by the way, even worse for Ichiro. I still think Jeter should have been obviously unanimous. But like Ichiro, even better, you would argue. for what he did.
Postseason exploits, Derek, all the championships, still, middle of the diamond. I mean, I don't even want to have that argument now, but I could push back on that.
The point is, anyway, like neither of those guys should have had any votes other than, yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
I know.
And yet
same
they
with
don't.
Tom Seaver.
So then
who watched Tom Seaver pitch and said, no, I can't vote for him this year?
It's ridiculous. So why can I take it seriously? And the voters change over time.
Yes.
So, and it still remains the same nonsense where these voters at times think that...
Well, is it the same nonsense or is there more nonsense? And I remember when I was young, I'd hear a lot about like, oh, Tony will leave and eventually got in, should be in, and... Maybe Tony Perez from the Big Red Machine or Gil Hodges should be in.
Yeah.
Like, there were always protests back, but I think there's more. Like, every year, there's two or three things to contest. Why did this guy get this vote? Why is he in with this volume of votes? Why did he not get in?
Yeah.
Why did he get in year three?
Yeah,
it's confusing. By the way, have you ever been to the Hall of Fame?
Yes, multiple times.
You have? When was the last time you went?
2014, I want to say.
That's a lot more recent than me.
Yeah.
I haven't been there since about 97, 98. Been a while. What'd you go for?
I went as a kid a long time ago.
Yeah, me too.
Probably the year that Joe Morgan and Jim Palmer got in. I want to say 1990.
Okay.
Is when I went as a kid for the first time.
Your parents took you?
Yes.
Oh, nice.
I went on a little family trip to Niagara Falls, Cooperstown. It was great. And, you know, I was a 10-year-old or 11-year-old kid.
It's fantastic,
like,
dude.
Heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Cooperstown.
Get a couple Slurpees, you're good to go. That's all you need.
That's all I need. And I've been back a couple of times since. I went back to actually play in a tournament with one of my uncles. We played on Doubleday Field.
I didn't know you. I played. I did not know you played on that field.
Yeah, loved it.
That's awesome.
Were sick.
It was like a little Wrigley Field, right?
Yeah, yes, exactly.
That was awesome.
And then
I didn't know you played there. Good job.
Most recently, one of my friends got married in 2014 in Cooperstown.
Okay.
So then we went.
Was the bachelor parties in Cooperstown when he go to take pictures next to Tycom
statue? No, not a
bachelor
statue. No, he actually got his wife is from there.
Got it.
So he got married there, but you know, as the group of people who commuted to go there, made a thing of it, go to the
very
whole
cool,
thing.
Very cool.
So,
I got to get back. I got to take my kids there.
You've never taken Colt, huh?
No. That's coming soon.
That should be high.
Very
on
soon.
Stan is in West Orange. What's up, Stan?
Hey guys, hey! I couldn't agree with you more about some of the things that you said over the last couple of minutes. By the way, just to let you know, I listen with you every day, and to tell you the truth, I don't call in, but this was something that I had to do.
Yeah, okay.
How do you take away 10 years of one of the best shortstops besides Derek Jeter and not? And Chase certainly gets a better rating as far as votes are concerned than Jimmy Rollins. Rollins is top 20 all time in seven offensive categories,
mm-hmm.
and he's top 20 defensively category wise for an entire career.
Well, Stan, aren't these the inconsistencies that me and Sal were talking about that just drive you nuts? They're so random.
Well, like I said, it's incredible. Beltran, no question, he should have been in. Billy Wagner, how do you turn around? Billy Wagner didn't get Houston to the World Series. He didn't get the Phillies to the World Series. He didn't get the Mets to the World.
Yeah, but he was still great.
Yeah, but that's not fair.
He was still a great relief pitcher, Stan, Billy Wagner. And by the way, they made him wait 10 freaking years, which is ridiculous. He's better than Lee Smith.
Well, you know what? Okay, fine. I'll go along with that only because of the fact that you're right in that respect. Like, every time, it was funny. You can't take that away from Trevor Hoffman, but you know what happened with Trevor Hoffman, too.
Yeah, I think Wagner was better, and thank you for the call, Stan. And this is why I do love the conversation, BT, but it's so frustrating because it continues to be wrong, and we could yell and scream about it as we do once a year.
Yeah.
It's a fun conversation, fun debate to have, who we would put in, who shouldn't be in, why is this guy in, what about the percentages? But it's so fundamentally screwed up, it hurts me at my core as a diehard baseball fan.
But you just said something interesting. You said that we yell about it every year. Yeah, we do, but I yell less often, and I yell with less volume than I used to. Each year dissipates a little bit. It's not that my love for baseball is fading. If anything, with my kids, it's been sparked and it's grown even more, almost back to when I was a kid. I love baseball. I have actually fallen back in love with baseball. Because, you know, like, honestly, just nobody cares. But, like, the way when I stopped playing, I was so beat up. And I in my mind, I underachieved and I hated baseball. I didn't think it treated me right. Like, I put so much in and it really spit me out. And I've learned to forget that because I just wasn't good enough. But in real time, it hurt me.
Right.
So I always still watch the Yanks and the Mets. But I fell out of love with it. I've fallen back in love with it. But I just, this is not a fight that I really...
You can't win.
You can't win it, and I'm almost not even willing to fight it anymore because it's so without reward.
Yeah.
Like, we go in circles every year. It's the same conversation. The names are just different.
Right. No, you're right. It's already ruined. There's nothing we can do about it. I'll be honest with you. It makes me feel a little bit better yelling about it.
I get me too with certain things.
Yes, like 15 years ago, 10 years ago, was I more angry about it?
Oh, sure. I was a lunatic.
But
back
it's just
then.
Gotten worse and worse and worse. And you're right. At some point, you just throw your hands up and say, who cares about it? And maybe we get to that point where we stop talking about it, even the once a year that it comes up. Maybe we do.
I don't think you and I will. Others will.
Well,
or could. We won't.
A lot of what we're discussing plays more to the older fan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Colt or the younger, you know, even if you say you know, your son's what? He's just turned 10?
Just turned 10.
Okay, right. So, all right, say between the ages of 10 and 30, do they give a crap about the Hall of Fame anymore?
That's a good question. I mean, I had such reverence for it when I was 10. I would say probably not. I think I would be untruthful if I said it's definitely not the same because he doesn't talk. Now, he watches baseball every night, but he doesn't talk about the Hall of Fame. No, I think the answer is there's been a drop-off.
Which means those of us who really carry
the torch, kind of
before it got destroyed, we're eventually going to move on.
That's true.
And the new crop, I don't think, is going to give as much of a crap.
You know what? That's
it.
A good point. That is a good point.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll finish up with your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.